Okay, so it's slash 28, 16 addressing. That stuff actually becomes more important if you want to tie together a bunch of different VPNs. Because VPNs all have to be on different subnets, right? Or else you start having IP address collisions, joining the networks together. So that kind of thing becomes really important if you're going to tie a lot of VPNs together in some bigger or more complicated environment. So yeah, you can tweak out whatever network you want. I would say one caveat to that is that imaginary thing called IPv6. Neither one of the products really address that very well at all. They kind of PSN scratches the surface, but yeah. Somebody else had a question?
Does it have proxies for a lot of applications?
Proxies, he's asking, does it have proxies for a lot of applications like IRC, FTP, etc.? Good question. No, not Apple, not, there aren't a lot of, there's no application layer proxy that I know of that's been built into either one of these. Yeah?
I was playing with
GFS
a while ago, and I noticed that port 21 was open.
You were playing with PFSense a while ago, and port 21 was open and wouldn't shut off. Internal network or external?
External.
Good question. No, I have not heard of that. I have also in practice not seen that. So.
They probably updated it for now. I just wondered why. What that was all about.
Got it. Another question.
Yeah, I noticed the same thing. It is internal only. You scan it from outside. And I mean, by default, you've only
And what is it? The answer to that was it was internal only.
If you
want to
FTP something to it, I guess you can. I didn't.
Wanted to FTP something internally to the actual firewall unit.
Oh,
good question. That's worth looking up. Yes, you very well could. You could set up a firewall rule to block it internally. Absolutely. Let me hold on to that one, because in a second, I forgot one power supply, so we only got, so switching between boxes. I'll turn on the PFSense box, and we're going to have to be ask that PSN's question in a minute. Yeah. Okay. Can you install other applications on Monowall? No. Monowall is extremely rigid, extremely small, totally locked down. Awesome. Just got another power supply from somebody. Yay, Bruno! So no, pfSense is so locked down that there's nothing you can do with it except what the web GUI allows you to do. And even what you can do from the console is pretty much limited to resetting the thing completely and rebooting it. It's really, really limited, which in a lot of contexts I would say is actually a design feature. I think that's great. You've got all the base, cool, hardcore stuff that you really need to run a decent network. And very little chance of anything being compromised, right? Because security is always a trade-off between features and things that you're going to do with something and exposing something that can be exploited, right? So Monowall is just really small and really, really tight. Yeah, one more question on this one.
Right.
VPN stuff. Going down the list, yeah. Let's hit it. Where are we at? Okay. How's the VPN stuff? We got two common VPN scenarios we set up. One is IPsec. Second is point-to-point, TP. Yeah, thank you. Point-to-point tunneling protocol. You can set up either or both at the same time. You can set up IPsec to create a point-to-point tunnel or to enable mobile clients to connect to it. It's really sweet. You can very easily, this is cool for a lot of reasons. One, somebody who's setting up VPNs can do it really quickly through the web GUI. Second, somebody who doesn't set up VPNs a lot and wants to set one up can do it really easily. You follow one page in the Monowall handbook, which, by the way, the Monowall handbook is really well written, just like any good BSD document should be. And it really covers configuring nearly everything for both Monowall and BFSense. And when I say nearly everything, like there's stuff for setting up CARP and PFSense, so you can have redundant failover firewalls. Well, that's not quite covered, and it's a little tricky. You got to watch some little Flash movie if you want to watch the how-to. But you can really figure that stuff out on your own as well. It's a web GUI. I mean, you have half your thinking while you're looking at it, you can figure the stuff out. Any questions about the VPN on Monowall? No? Okay. Here, let's just look at setting, configuring it so you can look at options and maybe trigger some stuff in people's brain. But you set up which subnets you want to tie together for what reasons, set up all your different hashes, keys. Can I make the text bigger? Yeah. How's that? Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So and one cool thing about the handbook is if you've never done any of this before, you've never set up a VPN before, and you want to set up a VPN between two points, it gives you all the directions to do it. And I've done it several times using the handbook, and it's really simple. I would say it's a lot. It's even, not good. Too many fists here, but it's a lot easier than the 5-minute IPsec and OpenBSD VPN tube that's really popular. It's easier for me. Says me. Okay. Whoa, this kind of... Thanks, MW. So let me see. Also, before we move on to the PFSense box, you can get status on your various interfaces. Pretty simple. You can also check out traffic graphs, which requires SVG. There's nothing going on the WAN at all that's not plugged in. Let's look at the LAN traffic. So the LAN traffic is running pretty, there's nothing going on, loading pages, loading web pages. This is pretty useful, pretty handy, be able to actually show somebody. Yeah. Both of them support wireless cards, yeah. Everything you can think of. Everything you want. I'll show you that on the PFSense box. There's one issue with the wireless cards. Neither one of them support the same chipsets, which is totally annoying. So PFSense boxes support the Atheros chipsets. That's the only one I remember because that's what I've got. The Monowell boxes, I forget, they do Broadcom and some other stuff. But yeah, you can set them up to do anything you want. Like, they've been a very cool feature about that. FreeBSD's been very committed to making all of this stuff available. Everything. So, however you want it rolling. There's one other cool thing, but I'll really show it once we set it up on the PFSense box, because that's the one I've configured with that. And that's called Captive Portal, which is down here. Captive Portal. All right, who knows what Captive Portal is in the room? All right, one person. You can go to the airport, you find a wireless, such and such airport, you log in and you can't route any packets and nothing's going on. You open a web browser and voila, put your credit card here and we get in. That's a captive portal. These software packages, the Monowall and PFSense, make it really, really easy to, like, in 10 minutes, set up a captive portal, which is really cool. So if you want to share, we can apply this to little use cases from before. If you want to share wireless with your neighbors, but hey, you're paying your bill for your internet connection, which in New York City's kind of ridiculous prices, the speeds we're getting. Hey, you want to share with your neighbor? Cool. Set up a captive portal. So I'll show you one in action on the PFSense box in a minute. Let's see if there's anything else that's really cool. The DNS server, and this is where we get into, DHCP server. This is where this stuff starts really blowing away all the competitive gear. So you can start taking MAC addresses and assigning specific IPs to through the DHCP server to specific MAC addresses, which is a really, really cool way to set up an office. It's really, really, really flexible. So that way, I always know that such and such machine on the network is going to have this IP address, and I can always get to it at this IP address. But I can still maintain, in a real-world, busy office, a DHCP network. Because, hey, we just replaced, the office manager's computer, and we're running over to get that turned on, and there's some other fire to put out that afternoon as well. And wow, I don't even have time to run back to her room and set her up with static IP and do all this stuff. Hey, just plug her in DHCP, she's up and running. And later on, when you're finally sitting down back in the server room, find her MAC address, enter it, and make sure that the office manager always gets the same IP. It's really cool. I like it. You can also set up a DNS DNS proxy. Where is this? Your DNS forwarder. And what this is really cool. So you can take any DNS, if this thing is going to serve DNS to all of the client machines below it, then you can set it up to say, /.org actually goes to, the company intranet, so that you keep everybody focused on their task every day, or some junk like that. But you can also use this to set up completely arbitrary domain names for things. Like, gee, I can never remember the name of, the file server. Files.iclan.local suddenly becomes the file server, and this thing calls it. It's cool. It's easy. And anything else? Oh, yeah. We'll jump down to diagnostics. Diagnostics gives us logs, which you can tune to be as verbose as you want them to be, of course, your IPv6 stuff, gives you some really simple utilities for ping and trace route, for people who are wondering about like other apps you can use, your ARP tables, firewall states, this is what we want to see, backup restore. So the configuration file, say you've set your machine up and suddenly, somebody pours coffee on the thing, or your kid decides to pull, the bottle of water onto the router and it's fried. Well, if you backed up this little configuration file somewhere you're downloading, you can just load up a new machine, upload your configuration to it, and you're back in business in minutes. Which is cool at home, which is cool in the office, it's cool all over the place. Any questions before I switch boxes? Yeah.
The captive portal. What billing mechanisms does
the captive portal support? Okay, there's no billing mechanism built into it per se. All it provides is access, and the way that it provides access is by actually blocking using firewall dynamically loaded firewall rules to block packets or only allow packets on a given interface for somebody to authenticate it. So it does support radius authentication, which seems to be like the thing for doing large rollouts of various types of user authentication. Hold on 1 second back. And radius is cool. There's a number of, as I've seen, every BSD has a number of ports for at least two or three different radius servers. I tried them out for the first time and started screwing around with them and found them all to be a little kludgy. And then found, hey, there's Python modules for interacting with radio stuff, and I'd much rather build my own little database since I've got to write something in the middle anyways. There's Perl modules, there's whatever you want, so, but Radius is the language used. Pushing back. Metering, yes. Okay, SNMP. So you can set up SNMP, excuse me, you can set up SNMP, and on another box somewhere else, this thing doesn't allow you to collect much data, it wasn't designed to do that, and it's really designed so that it rarely does any disk reads or writes, it tries to keep as much of what's doing in memory as possible. But yeah, you can enable SNMP and collect SNMP data on another machine and make, you know, use MRTG or something to make pretty graphs. And yes? That wasn't your question. Oh, okay. Does it do metering, like quality of service stuff? Got it. Okay. The question was, does the captive portal do metering, some kind of bandwidth throttling or quality of service for different users? To my knowledge, at this point, no. I had seen something about that discussed on the PFSense mailing list, and somebody was actually working on writing that into the software, but it's not a stock feature yet. This one.
I'm sorry. You're running this off the CF card, right?
Running this off the CF card, yeah.
Where is the config saving to?
You end up saving it to wherever your web browser from the machine you're accessing it from downloads files to the web browser, your desktop.
But in terms of burning that, putting that back in the CF card, you have to yank out the CF card. Put it in a box.
No.
How does it write if you would, the CF card?
How do you write the... Okay, the question was, how do you write the XML file or the config file back to the CF card? Now, you load the CF card up with a fresh install of Monowall or PSS.
Right, you yank it out, you put it in a reader.
Find that page again. Yeah, get the box on and online. And then find that page again and use the browser to upload it and reboot your system.
And syslog?
You can remotely syslog everything. If you want to remotely syslog, you can remotely syslog.
Internal, external?
Yes, internal and external. So these things really blow away the Linksys, right? Yeah.
I think one, logging, does that all stay in memory then?
Does logging stay in memory? To my knowledge, yes. So you power cycle the machine, your logs gone.
Second part of that question.
Second part of the question. The lifespan on the CF cards for writes. John, good question. There's got to be kind of like word of mouth metrics on this on the mailing lists. But realistically, based on how many times I sit staring at these while I'm doing all this fun network stuff, and I see the little disk light blink, I'm going to say these CF cards are going to last a couple of years. You know, I mean, they're really going to last a long time. They're also really cheap, and both images now are down to under 30 megs. Like, Monowall is like 14 megs, PSense is like 28 megs, something like that. And you really only need a 128 card, which are $20 at Office Max. Which is another cool thing about deploying these, especially in New York City, because you can almost go out to a bodega if you buy your CF card and you're back in business. Another cool thing about the Socrates boxes and the power supply is, I believe the voltage, I think it's as low as 4.5 volts, up to 18 volts, is that right? Was it 48 volts? Some of the models 48 volts. So like, I've had situations where, fried power supply, just dig around in my, at home, I've got a bunch of wall warts in a box and under the sink and under my bed, and in small offices, there's old wall warts lying around all over the place. Find one that fits the back of the box, check the voltage to make sure it's not freaky, And wow, they just work. So it's really cool. These are really robust. This is, that's how things should be in the city for us. Tough. Because power and every, yeah, I was going to say, because nothing else is reliable. Network connections, power, nothing. So your gear better be. Okay, hold on one sec. I'm going to think up new questions while I switch these out. Let's see how fast. Yay! All right, now I configured this box identical to, or not completely identical, but very close to this box that I run at home, because I've got this captive portal running.
And I'll switch, hold on, let's switch interfaces again. Oh, but this thing's got no, yeah, that's got no network connection like that.
I'm going to fake it. So this is sitting on a remote web server, and this is what, if somebody stumbles on, you know, into my neighborhood and they find the IPNet AP and they try to do something, this is what they get. Well, some graphics that didn't load because I think they're on this thing. Anyways, so with the CAPA portal, you can punch a hole to as many different IPs or domains as you want, so you can allow access to certain things. So therefore, your payment, if you want to set this up as a business, like full on, that's where you're plugging in your payment gateway. You're doing it at home, you set it up with PayPal, you're doing this more professionally, you set up your whole crazy, you know, payment gateway and your system, and it plugs into your radio system, whatever. Or you just want to allow people, like, I don't know, access to, like, a teaser, like, hey, see, it works. You can search Google, but you can't see any of the stuff. That'd be real funny. And just set up, like, here's little details, and how, in my house, this is how you do it, and I give instructions for precisely how I want the bill folded, and then you put that under my door once a month, and, well, the pictures are all loading. Put that under my door once a month, and if you don't fold it like this, you lose your connection. But you get the idea. Like, that's what the captive portal looks like. And after somebody authenticates, hey, they're in. They're on the net, and it's really cool. With that stated, because these things are full-featured routers and firewalls, and even these Socrates boxes have 3 NICs, hey, I've got one of those NICs set up as a completely private network. It's a little DMZ. That's, you know, my land. The rest of it is stuff that I let my neighbors use, do other things with. So you can completely segregate your networks, you can set up firewall rules between them, controls to do specific tasks between them if you want, whatever you want. Really, really cool stuff. Alright, so everybody's been saving up pfSense questions. This is the time to ask them. Plug that back in. And larger. Is that readable? Is that readable? No. Yes? Okay. Okay. So let me make this as big as possible. Let's see what else is different. Okay. One thing that's different about pfSense. Since pfSense is built on PF and not IPFW, you have full-on access to cart these things, which, again, is really, really cool. I've got one small office where I have this deployed, and it's worked. It's been really cool. When there was a power surge failure that blew out one of the boxes, where I had an experience finding Walmarts in their office and making this go back to life, it actually did fry out the whole machine, and the other machine picked it up, and the network still worked, which is really delightful. I blew a lot of other stuff in the office, but at least I didn't have to worry about the network. So this allows you to set up. How many people are familiar with CARP in the room? A couple, a bunch. Okay, a bunch. CARP allows you to set up absolutely transparent, redundant firewalls. It also, there's a thing called PF Sync, which is part of PF, that allows you to synchronize your firewall rules between these two boxes. So what you do is you set up these two boxes, you run one crossover cable between them, you run two network connections over to your internet connection, wherever that is, and you run the other two connections out to your switch. And you can set up failovers so that, you know, on a machine-to-machine level, you set up a virtual IP address, and machines actually, you know, when one of these things fails, they think they're talking to the same machine at a Mac address level. It's really cool. It's really neat. It really blows. You have to watch some little Flash movie to, if you've never done this before, to figure it out. It's really tricky. But everybody on the mailing list is really helpful. It's very cool. So setting up redundant nodes is really sweet. So not only in this office situation is this cool, because this means you know guys like me don't have to drop everything and go running because one of the routers died. But at home this is cool because, you know, I was talking about all the building those routers out of junk that you find off the street. Stuff has a short shelf life, but it's always there and it's free. So you just, you know, keep running these things off CDs and your floppy off of junk you find on the street, and you've got this situation covered. So on a Friday night when you come home and you find that your router blows and you've had a long week, you don't really have to think about dealing with it. So you want to deal with it, which is really nice. Let me see what other questions. Everything else is pretty much the same thing. PFSense also allows you to do a bunch of things with the more advanced features like AltQ and a number of other things. PFSense allows you to install packages, which are kind of like, they're software packages that can be plugins to PFSense's GUI. So if you've got some favorite piece of software that you use that you want to, you know, figure a way to put into the web GUI, and you're going to hack all that PHP foo and do all that fun, you can install that stuff. You can also just install core software packages, because PFSense gives you a shell. Now this stuff is also in, PFSense really shines on big hardware, again. And there's one installation that I was told about by some emails from Chris Buechler. In Brazil, one of the largest hospitals in the city uses a bunch of carved PFSense firewalls to run their network as their border gateway to everything in the hospital. And this is a really cool case, because they have sustained uptime of, I forget what, for their network. It's been a long time. Basically, since this stuff was put into place. And they have a number of DS3s coming in at a total of 150 megabit coming into the pipe. And it's got usually about a 70% utilization of the network. So this is a heavy, heavy use network and internet connection. And it's a bunch of x86 machines running PFSense.
DS3
for
software boxes?
Say what? No, not DS3 for software boxes. This ends up, you're right, this is x86 hardware. This is a bunch of just straight up regular old servers sitting on the edge of the network, route traffic. So they're using it. Let me see if there's any other cool features. Oh yeah, this is a cool feature. Remember that slide earlier when I was giving the doctor straight? Whoa. Let's go to sleep.
Yep.
Okay, that important phone call, the VoIP calls that are just getting slammed on the network. Both Monowall and PFSense have some really cool tools that they both just call Traffic Shaper. In PFSense, it uses, of course, PF to set your rules for shaping traffic. And in Monowall, it uses WNET, IPFW and WNET combination. They set the interfaces up to be very similar. Because these guys, as much as they're competing projects, this is also BSD-land, and everybody is like, wow, you did it that way? Well, we'll keep it consistent. We'll do it that way, too. And they are very consistent, thoughtfully designed. These rules were set up using the Easy Shaper Wizard which is, it seems really dorky, but this really saves your tail, especially if you can set up a cap portal or let other people use your network. It's going to nuke my config. I won't go any further. Basically, what this sets up for you is a set of rules that choke BitTorrent and every other peer-to-peer client down to a little teeny, teeny fraction of your network bandwidth, and then provides load-balanced network traffic balancing for every user on the network. It's a pretty straightforward thing, and it's really cool to use it to set up your base configuration, and then beyond that, you can go in and tweak all of these, tweak your queues, tweak your actual sets of rules, and you've got traffic shaping set up in a matter of minutes. And they do also include in here a specific type of priority for VoIP packets. So, I mean, this is really the, like, 10-minute solution to throttling. So this kind of stuff makes sense all over the place. Like, these software products can be used everywhere. And, you know, after all my blabbing up here, I hope everybody's head's spinning when they're thinking about how much fun they'll have with this stuff. With that stated, I'm pretty much going to call it quits, ask questions to see if there's any questions, and me and these boxes will be out at the bar, so if anybody brought their laptop or borrowed a friend or just something and wants to just screw around with these boxes, they'll be on. I brought a switch, a wireless access for this, this would be like, you know, a real LAN party at the bar. How about it? Or, you know, we can all just drink too much. How to figure these things out. So that's it. Yes. Question was, can you save that config file so you can play around? Yes. That was, I covered that earlier, but I'll show it one more time. Down at the bottom, you're able to back up the config file, and it downloads as to your whatever desktop machine you're using, or whatever client, web browser, just downloads where your files go, and you can just upload and restore it to a fresh system, and you're good to go. And I did that, of course, to set this box up, because there's a box that's set up nearly identical to this running at my house right now. So this is just set up similar. What's OLSR? Good question. What is OSLR? Loading. Dynamic Mesh Linking Daemon. Does anybody else want to answer what OLSR is? Like I said, PFSense is the big brother with, like, all features you can possibly ever think of. Say what?
Clustering.
It's for clustering, says someone in the back. Yeah. Let me see if there's anything else that's fun in PFSense. So we'll call this finished. TCP leases. Well, I guess that's it. And the last words on PFSense is that, hey, you can pop a shell on PFSense. So you really can load this up on bigger boxes and install whatever other software you want. And go absolutely crazy with it. Question? Last one. They both support read-write and read-only. So, for the drive, that's a good question. I'm going to have to look that up. I don't know. You're talking about... Got it. He's talking about uploading the config. Right. You know what? I'm not sure. To be really honest, I'm not sure. I haven't done that either way. And most situations where I've seen people do that, they run it off of the CD and to the same effect. So I'm not really sure. Say what? Pop the shell and see the mount.
You're right. Oh, we can do this. Let's do this at the bar. Let's get everybody out of here.
Unless there's any other... That's it. Thank you all. Thank you all.
We have one more quick announcement.
One quick announcement.
People know Tom Limoncelli?
Hi, I've been here a couple times. I spoke last year, I believe. But a difference since last time I spoke here is I now work at Google, and the announcement I wanted to bring is that Google's building in New York is moving from Times Square to Chelsea. It's much bigger, which means we can hire a lot more people. So if you or your friends are looking, we need system administrators, software developers, a big Unix shop, Mac shop. We have even some of those PCs that come from Redmond.
Sorry.